Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ian Eagle, the great play-by-play man from CBS, going to be calling the games on TBS from Boston tomorrow night. And he's got great games, no doubt. Ian, first of all, it's great having you back on the bench. Take me back to the Syracuse-Michigan State game in the Motor City last week, and that long stretch zone with their, you know, the way Syracuse defended that perimeter with these freaks they recruit there, with these long arms that look like 737 wings on an airplane. I mean, that's probably the – and I don't even think he's got talent on that team. I think he's got, you know, the great defense. But I've seen way better athletes that he's had there at Syracuse in the past. But that defense still, with all those kids that I've never heard of, still play great defense against Michigan State. Man, did they frustrate them.
They did. They were baffled, Scotty. They are the tallest team in the country, and it showed against Arizona State, first round against TCU, and then round of 32 against Michigan State. Those are three high-scoring basketball teams. All three teams averaged 80-plus points during the season, and all three teams could not crack 60, couldn't even get to 56. So that tells you something. It's been very stifling, and the fact that you have a quick turnaround and playing – the zone. I think that's really what affected Michigan State. Tom Izzo tried to make changes, tried to make adjustments. He put Ben Carter in, who had really not been in the rotation, thinking he would have a 6'10" big that would stand right along the free throw line and make decisions, either pass out of the zone or shoot over the zone. That didn't work. They were really struggling and frustrated, and Syracuse finds itself in a Sweet 16 in a year where Jim Boeheim doesn't even have one of his classic teams.
Right. They got like one guy that can put the ball in a whole battle. And they've played Duke at Cameron. They got whacked by 16, and Bagley and Carter figured out that zone. And I know you're not doing that game, but your thoughts on if, you know, Duke's already solved it once, but Syracuse, do you think they'll handle it better? And it's going to be weird to see them both like zoning each other to death in that game.
Yeah, you just nailed it. This is the weird wrinkle in this game, is that Mike Krzyzewski has played more zone this year than he has in his entire career, and a lot of it has to do with Jim Boeheim. They're very close. Boeheim was an assistant on Team USA, and Krzyzewski has acknowledged that Boeheim convinced him to play zone with all those all-stars because they were not guarding well man-to-man, and it worked. And then Krzyzewski decided to work it into his philosophy this year because his guys were not guarding well man-to-man. And guess what? It's worked. I think part of the issue is because you can't simulate it in practice, most teams don't really practice the zone. So when you put a scout team out there, you can't simulate the height. You can't simulate the wingspan. Well, guess what? Duke can. Duke's been practicing it now for a couple of months. So probably the worst matchup for Syracuse in that. This team is ready for, prepared for it, and this coach knows the buttons to push. I don't think Syracuse gets embarrassed, but I would be shocked if they could make it four wins a row in this tournament.
So you're doing a game this year with your son. What did that mean to you? That had to be crazy.
Oh, beyond. Scott, beyond cool. You know, I think about for myself, I started the NCAA tournament working it for CBS in 1998. That's 21 years. My son is 21 years old, and the sheer fact that he wants to do this was cool enough. The fact that we were able to do it together in the same game, Miami and Syracuse, he did it for the student radio station that I worked at when I was at Syracuse. I did it for CBS. To have our two worlds cross over on that day was surreal.
Yeah, you had to be really proud of him. You guys did. That was a great thing that you did. I just thought it was fabulous. So talk to me about West Virginia. I love Javon Carter. He looks like he's my age, but he's got – I mean, he's got some sick game. I love his game, and I got to tell you, I love this West Virginia team and their press and everything about it. But, you know, when they go up against really good teams, like in their own conference, that's where they lost those 7 of 10 games. So now they're going up against a team, as you know, as you're studying for this game and you've seen Nova, they mean business. And I mean to tell you, they're not afraid of some press defense. They can, I think, handle any team in the country. But that's a real heavyweight fight you're doing in Boston.
Yeah, two things strike me, Scott. I think with Villanova, having called the NBA now for 24 years, they're the closest thing from a rhythm standpoint as a play-by-play announcer that I find in college basketball, that they make the extra pass, that they can make threes, they make winning plays, they move the ball around. Just even in the way you call the game, you can anticipate makes that you just can't for other teams in college basketball. The second part is if you handle the press, which I think Villanova will be able to handle, Phil Booth can handle the ball, Bridges can handle the ball, they have enough versatility, you actually can get open threes. If you break that first wave, you'll get clean looks. It's just a matter of not being frenetic and being able to lock in and hone in on your strengths. That's a strength for Villanova. They've made more threes than any team in the country. I know that West Virginia can affect your style and your approach. I don't think Villanova will be rattled, though I think West Virginia is going to give them all they can handle.
Yeah, no doubt. I got to ask you, so you wouldn't believe this, but I went to see that double overtime Pelican net game that night at the Barclays. I took my wife and kids to that game, and I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm going to Brooklyn to see a Nets game. I want to kill myself. But that was the greatest game ever. Rondo had a triple-double, and AD went for 44 and 17. And the building was lit because they were down 30, and they came back, and the game went to double overtime. They lost by 10. But that was the best NBA game I've been to in 10 years.
Well, and that's the thing, Scott, because I get a lot of reaction from people. They say, oh, you're calling the Nets, they're struggling again. And I try to explain to people, you don't understand. When you go into an NBA arena, there's a chance that you're going to see something you haven't seen before. There's a chance that the level of play is going to blow you away with a front row seat, 10th row seat, upper deck seat, and you'll walk out looking at the person next to you saying, was that just awesome or am I crazy?
Right.
Those were not the two best teams in the NBA by any stretch, but it is a really good product. There's a reason why the NBA is where it is right now. They have keyed in on a couple of key things in our world, which is the soap opera mentality within social media, players going up against players, carrying over on the court, and the skill level is off the charts. That game that you're talking about, Scott, I understand your reaction. It was one of those games where you walked out of there saying, did you just see what I saw?
Right.
Anthony Davis, he is incredible. And Rondo, when he is on, can really light up a building.
I mean, I love both those guys. And if Boogie was there, it would have been even better. I think Rondo's one of my favorite players, even though all of his issues, whatever aside, I still think he makes offensive plays and looks and no looks and passes and alley-oops like no other. And AD's just a freak. Let me ask you about Texas Tech-Purdue. What a game. I don't think Purdue's the same team, obviously, without Haas. But I still think Harms is so long.
Yeah.
When he's defending inbounds plays at ends of game, and I mean, he's just a shot alterer no matter what. He's a skinny toothpick, but I think he can alter the paint shots and the low block and elbow shots.
And Pharrell, he's not intimidated. Just having seen him earlier today, our group had a chance to talk to him. Allie LaFour sat down with him and blown away by his confidence level. This is not too big for him. Look, are they going to have to change a bit? They are. Haas didn't average 33 minutes per game. He was more of a 23-minute-per-game guy. They would reserve his energy and try to conserve what he brought to the team because they realized they couldn't push it beyond that 23-minute barrier. So they know how to play without him. Is it an adjustment? It is. But I don't think Purdue is lost without Isaac Haas. The problem for them, they're going against a Texas Tech team that now believes they're guard heavy and Keenan Evans is a player, but their freshmen have shown that they belong, and that's Culver and Zaire Smith. They also have a couple of big guys that they can rotate in and will play a physical style. I think Texas Tech has got a little something about them. this really could be one of the better Sweet 16 games on the board.
People that haven't seen Texas Tech play, watch Keenan Evans. He's a hell of a ball player. My last question for you is for fans that never get to see behind the scenes. Tell people what it's like when you go to, like, production meetings before you broadcast these NCAA games, like the day before or the night before, and you go to all these TV meetings. What fans don't know about what you do to get ready for a TV broadcast.
Yeah, it's really, for me, the biggest challenge of the year from a play-by-play perspective, because it's an avalanche of information, and you want to immerse yourself in it. So for me, this past week, I had the first four in Dayton, so you have to prepare for four teams. One of those teams moved on to my next area, which was Detroit, so that was 11 teams of preparation. I got the call on Sunday night at 9 p.m. after the selection show. I was on a flight at 8 a.m. Tuesday morning, going to Dayton. So you basically have 36 hours to get your head straight and make sure you feel comfortable and confident with these teams. And not just to have a surface knowledge, to really feel as if you've done the work to know where they've been throughout the year, how they got down this path, how their journey has gone to the NCAA tournament. The production meetings, you're melding together with your people, and you're trying your best to really be the conduit between the event and the fan. I know how people go gaga over this event. I don't want to do anyone a disservice, and that means being ready, being enthusiastic, and being completely locked in and focused beyond belief for these games.
Hey, you're just so fantastic at calling games. I mean that. I always enjoy when I'm watching a game and you're calling it. I know I'm in a good place and I'm in good hands when you're calling it. Couldn't be happier for you with your son's success. That's just terrific for you and your family. Congratulations on all your success and his as well. I'll be rooting for him, and I don't have to root for you. You're already a badass. Ian, thanks so much for coming on the bench as always.
Scott, always. Always love being on with you. We go so far back, and I think back to that day where you walked into the WFAN studios and you and I just shared a few moments together, and I knew right then and there that there was going to be a friendship. So
it's great.
I really appreciate the kind words.
It's true, Ian. So thanks so much for that, because no one else here has been nice to me. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'll see you, Ian. Great job.
I love you,
that's my guy, Ian Eagle, calling the games in Boston on TBS tomorrow night in Beantown. Should be great games. That West Virginia-Nova game is sick. And then a nightcapper with Texas Tech and Purdue. I mean, those are the two best games. No wonder he's calling them, because he's a badass.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.